Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. With the Oscars coming up on Sunday, there's a lot of talk about movies. Like good books, good movies can transport us to another place. They can teach us about another culture, and they really can change the way we understand the world. So on today's Your Call, we are talking about movies that have pulled you into a different world, maybe transformed the way you think about a particular issue, or really just inspired you, maybe even inspired you to get involved. We've received a number of recommendations so far, and we'd love more. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email your nomination to feedback@yourcallradio.org, or better yet, post your recommendation on our website so others can see it at yourcallradio.org. Today we are joined by Abby Ginsberg. She's been making documentaries for 25 years. She's consulting producer on The Barber of Birmingham, which was nominated for an Oscar in the short documentary category and is heading to L.A. for the Academy Awards. The film is about Mr. James Armstrong, a foot soldier and a dreamer whose barbershop in Birmingham, Alabama, has been a hub for haircuts and civil rights since 1955. Abby's film Soul of Justice, Felton Henderson's American Journey, profiles a judge who is responsible for placing medical care in the California prison system under federal receivership. It will air on KQED World this month. Abby is also president of the Berkeley Film Foundation, which has awarded over $400,000 to Berkeley filmmakers over the past 3 years. And just last night, she was at Doc Night, which showed clips of the documentaries that are up for an Oscar. And Abby joins us in studio. Hi, Abby.
Nice to be here.
It's great to have you. Thanks for coming in. We're also joined by Rachel Kaplan. She's founder and executive director of the San Francisco Green Film Festival, which runs March 1st through the 7th. She was also festival director for the San Francisco Ocean Film Festival, the first and largest showcase for ocean-related films. This is one of my favorite festivals, and it runs from March 8th to the 11th. And Rachel is also in studio. Hi, thanks for coming in.
Great to be on the show. Thanks.
And we're joined by Hossein Keshavarz. He's an Iranian filmmaker. His most recent film, Dog Sweat, is a film about young people fighting for freedom in Iran. His team shot the film in Tehran underground and at great personal risk to the cast and the crew. And they did this because they wanted to make an authentic film that shows the drama and irrepressible energy of a rebellious generation. Dog Sweat will be screening at Camera Cinemas tonight in San Jose at 7 o'clock, and Hossein will also be there. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So let's start off and talk about what's really exciting you all about film right now. So many people are talking about films because obviously the Oscars are on Sunday, but you do this on a sort of a full-time basis. So what are you thinking about right now? What's really exciting you? Rachel, since the Green Film Fest is about to kick off, why don't we start off with you?
Well, I think film is this has this incredible power. It can really take a message and make it very real, very personal. You can get involved in people's personal stories and struggles and triumphs. It can take these messages, whether it's social justice issues, environmental issues, and really drive them right into your heart and create a lifelong change in the way you view the world, the way you view other cultures, and inspire people, get them involved in these environmental issues.
And we'd love to hear examples from the films you showed last year and the audience response, because I saw a number of them and they were incredible.
Well, our opening night film, as you probably remember, was a film called Bagot.
Yes, I was just thinking about that. We did a show about Bagot.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Bagot is a feature-length documentary. It was our opening night film. It's a film about single-use plastic bags. Now, that does not sound interesting. How, you know, who wants to go see a film about plastic bags? But this incredibly compelling Morgan Spurlock-type character who takes us on this personal journey into the realm of plastic and how it's just in everything, every part of our lives and in our environment, in our oceans, in our water and soil and air. And the terrible implications that has on human health and wildlife. and really is entertaining and informative and makes you see the world in a different way. And these stories we had after the festival, oh, I got the film, I did screenings from my office, oh, I went back to my office, we got rid of all our styrofoam, everyone has a mug now, or I went home, I got rid of all my Tupperware, now I have glass. You know, small personal changes or major lifestyle changes, people that are out now campaigning for bag bans across the state. So.
Yeah, it's an excellent film. And what would you add to that, Abby? What's really exciting you right now about films?
Well, I think I would just piggyback on what Rachel said. I think that, you know, being able to meet characters, I do very often character-driven films. The Barber is a character-driven film. And I think that it is probably one of the best ways to get people to, you know, rethink their own priorities, rethink their own commitments and so on by being, as you say, inspired by someone that they've just met on camera. And, you know, for me, the issue when I create films, I've done this film that you mentioned on Thelton Henderson. His connection maybe to the Oceans Film Festival would be that he saved the dolphins from tuna fishermen. There was a huge ongoing, you know, 15-year struggle around which the question of whether or not the tuna fishermen were allowed to, you know, essentially encircle dolphins and kill them in the, you know, as they were trying to catch tuna. And he was the one guy standing between dolphins and, you know, saving them. And he did a very good job of that. So one of the things that was interesting is here's this sort of first black attorney in the civil rights division, but he had this big environmental case that was really important, and he made a huge difference there. And I think, you know, what you're looking for in all these character-driven films is some connection between, you know, what the character's challenges are in the real world and what they're able to do in terms of how they rise to meet them and how they don't take no for an answer and how they overcome obstacles at every step of the way and end up, you know, sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. Sometimes Thelton Henderson is overturned. And, you know, sometimes the Barber of Birmingham didn't get his way. But, it, you know, over time, what you see is a level of resilience and commitment to the sort of overall goal that more than almost anything else is what inspires me. You know, I choose these subjects because I'm inspired by them. And I figure if I'm inspired by them, maybe some other people will be.
I love this about Thelton Henderson. I had no idea he was the man behind the netting. Because what happens is when people fish for the tuna, the dolphins get caught up in the nets and end up dying.
Exactly. They end up being suffocated just in the course of the netting process. Yeah.
Wow.
And so the next time you eat tuna fish, make sure that it's dolphin-free and give a tip of your hat to Judge Thelton Henderson.
And be sure to see The Cove, since
we're
talking about dolphins and films. I mean, that talk about a film that has inspired so many people to get involved in saving dolphins and to at least be aware of what happens in Taiji, Japan.
I wanted to say one other thing, which is that I think part of the interest in documentaries these days has to do with the fact that people understand that they are being either lied to or facts are being misrepresented a lot of the time. And there is some way in which documentaries have kind of risen out as sort of a truth-telling mechanism. And I think people actually believe that one way to find out what's really happening about whatever the subject is to actually see a good documentary about it. And I think that when you say, what am I excited about? I'm excited about people kind of coming to understand that this isn't, you know, dry classroom preaching, that this is a way to really learn something about issues that you care about in the real world and to maybe then be inspired to take action to do something to correct an injustice.
And Hossein, what would you add to that? What's really exciting you right now about films?
Well, you know, as you guys are talking about, you know, film is a great tool for activism, but as a filmmaker, when you're making a film, you really learn so much about kind of all the things you see around you, the things that you would take for granted. And so for the process of making our film, because we shot it underground, we really kind of wanted to show people's everyday life. And so in a way, it was almost mixing fiction with a documentary style, where we wanted to integrate people's stories and kind of show the way people live that maybe people haven't seen. You know, the images we see of Iran have always Iran as a threat, or in Iranian cinema, because of censorship, it's always Iran as a kind of a idealized Islamic family. But, you know, whenever I go to Iran, I'm amazed by how much energy there is. You know, Tehran's a city of 20 million people, and coming back to New York, I find it so tame compared to all the stuff that's going on. And people are very insistent about living their lives, and all the restrictions are kind of like a landscape, and they want to go out, they want to have fun, and they want to have meaningful lives. And so whether it's something as simple as, you know, a guy and a girl want to find a place where they could be alone together, which is like something that you would never think about here, or if it's, you know, something bigger where they want to express a, you know, political point of view. I guess the process of making the film and then talking to people, integrating their stories into the film is, I think, an exciting thing, and I think maybe that's a product of this digital method of making films.
And what I would say, based on what he just said, is that, you know, I think that that really reinforces my notion of, you know, kind of the films being a form of truth-telling, you know, and that your film will be noticed, I expect, for the fact that it's trying to present a clear, you know, point of view about what's really going on in Iran as opposed to how we hear about it from our own media.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I understand that Reuters says that Dog Sweat is a stunning film about Iranian rebels. The most remarkable thing about Dog Sweat is its very existence.
Yeah, I mean, so for the film, because we shot the whole film underground, we had to shoot in bits and pieces. We always had to be very careful. But I think doing that gave the film an immediacy. Like, you know, a lot of times we would mix actors with non-actors and they wouldn't know that we were shooting, or we would put people in real situations. And, you know, it made us be much more cognizant of the fact that these are people's stories that we want to tell, we want to celebrate.
So we'll talk more throughout the show about the specific projects you're all working on, but why don't we, I'd love to get your nominations. What film have you seen, and it doesn't have to be a documentary, it can be any film, that's really changed your view of the world or maybe inspired you? What would you say, Rachel?
Well, I think I would have to say Franny Armstrong's film, The Age of Stupid, which came out maybe 4 or 5 years ago. There was a screening at the International Film Festival here in San Francisco, and she came. And for me personally, that was the spark to create the Green Film Festival. I saw that film was being used in this way that was could create whole movements. The 1010 movement came out of this film in the UK, which is akin to 350 over here. You can create, you know, a film can be used to build, draw people together around these issues. And that was very empowering and made me want to you know, create this space where we could come together and show films that otherwise often are overlooked or don't have a place where they naturally reach an audience, and bring people together to discuss these issues and try and create some positive change.
So The Age of Stupid.
Yeah.
All right, and we'll put movies list on our website after the show. What about you, Abby?
Well, I've been thinking about it. There's an old movie, I can't even remember, maybe from the 80s. It was called A World Apart. And it was a film that introduced me to South Africa. It was a film done by a guy named, I think, Chris Menges. And he's still a cinematographer and has been around for a long time. But it was the story of a South African white family that had been very involved in the anti-apartheid movement. And it showed the sort of rifts within the family. I mean, what does it mean to children if your parents' entire commitment is to a political, you know, that their primary commitment is to their politics and their secondary commitment is to their family? And what does that mean? And something about that film, I suspect, influenced how I was a mother. My daughter is now 20, but I think some part of that film got under my skin, and I made sure that my daughter felt like, you know, she had my attention when she needed it. So that's one dramatic film that's sort of been with me a long time. And I've been, you know, moved by many documentaries over the years. I don't know that I have, you know, one specific one. I was thinking actually about last year's Oscar winner, which was Inside Job. And I have to say why I loved it is because it pulled together all these things you've been reading in the newspapers, but it did it in about an hour and a half. You understood the economic crisis in a way that I personally could never have articulated. And it showed the kind of interlocking directorates between business schools and Wall Street and all this stuff that you sort of think you're getting, but by doing it in a digestible format in a way that neither spoke down to the audience nor was over the audience's head, I thought it did a remarkable job in a really timely fashion of telling us what we as American citizens need to know about how corrupt so many aspects of our economy are.
Yeah, so true. That was a good one. What about you?
And that film, it really, you know, it kind of provides context for all these things that you think you know or you think you understood, and then you don't realize that there's a much bigger picture there. The film that actually has been on my mind is this film called La Quattro Volte, which is this Italian film, which is about this sheep herder, and the film has no dialogue, and it's about his life, and then we see the sheep herder pass away, and then they put him in his tomb, and then the next shot is a baby sheep coming from out of the womb of the mother, and then we follow the lives of these sheep and the sheep growing up and their families and the community, and then the sheep passes away underneath a tree. Then we follow the life of a tree, and so the film was so beautiful and so philosophical, and it reminds me that, you know, film has such a breadth. You know, films could be about a very small story about love, like, you know, the film The Weeknd that was recently out, or it could be a film that really moves you to political activism, or it could be a film that just lets you ponder about life.
And that is Hossein Keshavarz. He's an Iranian filmmaker. His most recent film, Dog Sweat, is about young people fighting to be free in Iran. It'll be screened tonight at Camera Cinemas in San Jose. And I will grab that address for you as soon as I can find it on their website. And Hossein will also be there in attendance tonight. We're also joined by Rachel Kaplan, founder and executive director of the San Francisco Green Film Fest, which kicks off on March 1st. And Abby Ginsberg has been making documentaries for 25 years. She's consulting producer of The Barber of Birmingham. She's also the director behind Soul of Justice, Thelton Henderson's American Journey. And we'd love to hear from you. We're taking your nominations today. What film really grabbed your attention, took you to another place, changed the way you see the world, or just really transpired you? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also post your recommendation at yourcallradio.org or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And I want to go over a couple nominations. Kim from Richmond just called in to recommend Black Power Mixed Tape, which is a documentary about the evolution of the Black Power movement from 67 to 75. It combines music, old footage, and audio interviews from leading Black artists and activists. It's actually showing, if anyone's listening or will be in the Sacramento area, Friday night, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Lavender Library. So again, that's Black Power Mixtape. And then I want to read a couple that we've received over the last few days. Pete says, The War Game. I managed to see it in London on cinema, as it has been banned from viewing by BBC Television, who commissioned it. The War Game is a 1965 TV documentary-style drama depicting the effects of nuclear war on Britain. It's an anthology series. It caused dismay within the BBC and in government, and was withdrawn from television transmitters on August 6th, 1965, the 20th anniversary of the Hiroshima bombing. The BBC said the effect of the film had been judged by the BBC to be too horrifying for the medium of broadcasting. Thank you for that, Pete. Again, that's The War Game. Zach in Stillwater Cove writes, far and away the most impacting movie in my life is called From the Heart of the World, The Elder Brother's Warning. This is a collaboration with the BBC and one of the last native tribes called the Kogi in the Sierra Madre Mountains of Colombia. They've preserved their society without allowing any non-Indigenous contact, yet they allowed the BBC to come in and film so they could deliver a message about how our civilization is affecting the Earth and them in the process. He says, I'm glad to share this with you because they are actually making a new film about this. So it sounds great, Zach. Thanks for this recommendation. Again, it's called From the Heart of the World, The Elder Brother's Warning. So thanks for that, and I'll read more throughout the show, but we've got a couple callers on the line, so let's go to Jason in Salinas. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Great. So the film that I've seen, and it wasn't very critically acclaimed, and quite frankly, the acting and scripting wasn't great, but the concept I thought was amazing, is a film called A Day Without a Mexican.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And I was very much on the fence in terms of what I personally believed about immigrants and illegal immigrants and the issue and what to do about it. And after seeing that film and really just taking the film's concept and thinking about it, what would happen if California or any other state for that matter woke up and its Mexican population had disappeared, it really got me to thinking about just how radical some of these suggestions are in terms when people flippantly say, well, everybody should just go back to, quote, the country they came from. And it really caused me to, I think, come to a much more practical and realistic assessment of the issue and really see that there were people involved and not just entities.
Hmm. I haven't seen that one. What was it about the film that really grabbed you? Was it just the showing the human side of this?
The human side of it, and the film just did a really good job, and sometimes in a tongue-in-cheek way, of if all of the Mexicans disappeared, what would life be like? And it showed that there would be great holes in our everyday life, not just from sort of a consumer perspective, but neighbors that disappear and people that that somehow are tied to our lives and that maybe we kind of take for granted.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Jason. So a recommendation for A Day Without a Mexican. Abby, I bet this speaks to you that these films can also change your views.
Yeah, and I just want to give another shout out to a film I just saw, which is called A Better Life, which is the story of, you know, a Mexican immigrant gardener and what happens to him when his one possession, namely a truck, gets stolen. But all these films that sort of take you, I'm really with the caller on this, that take you into the real lived experience, you know, where you don't, you, I mean, you see people driving by in their gardening trucks every day, but you ever ask, you know, what kind of a home are they going home to? How many children are they feeding? You know, who's going to, you know, mow your lawn if it's not the people that you're hiring, you know, who may happen to be Mexican immigrants, et cetera. So I think that the caller's point is very well taken. And, you know, I mean, they are providing, you know, care for our children, care for our lawns, food in our restaurants, food on our table from, you know, all the harvesting that goes on here. And we take all of that for granted and then have a horrible immigration system. So I really believe that more and more films that sort of reveal how much work people are doing to better themselves and better the lives of others in America would make, I feel like we're on the verge of having to have a major change in our immigration policy. And that film probably began to get some people to wake up to it.
Yeah, I agree, and I appreciate the call. I think it brings up something important about film. We can read about issues, we can hear about them in the news, but when you actually spend time with someone in a film, there's this incredible empathy that can build with the character, with the issues. Mm-hmm. And that's something we aim to do at the Green Film Festival. We're showing films from all over the world. You can spend time with someone down a mine in the Congo or fishing in Japan, or environmental activists in China, or a head of state, as we have in our opening night film about former ousted President Nasheed of the Maldives, where local Bay Area filmmaker John Schenck spends a year with Nasheed in his first year in office. I think the first time that any filmmaker's ever had access to a president and spent that amount of time traveling with them. And just this incredible closeness you can have to the characters and the issues that stays with you forever, for a long time.
Yeah, and this particular issue is something I've been thinking about a lot. My next film, it's about the Dream Act and activists for the Dream Act.
Good.
Yeah, and so we want to mix in, you know, it's a fictional story, but we're mixing in, you know, real life activists in this story. And I always think it's so incredible that, you know, people who have lived here and have a life here, you know, honor students, will you know, take a risk and say, you know, I am someone without papers. It's not some theoretical problem, and we're not villains. We're people like you, contributing to society, enriching society, and will stand up and declare themselves without paper to bring that point home. Even though they know they're risking, you know, being deported to a country that, you know, they probably haven't been to since they were one or two. So the just the courage of these activists, it always amazes me. And so my idea is to work to kind of create a film that shows that and shows how that's part of their life. And
hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. And thank you again for calling in, Jason. And you can join us and nominate your film at 866-798-8255. You can also post it at yourcallradio.org. I'm Rose Aguilar. We'll be back after this.
Next time on Work with Marty Nemko, whether it's your supervisees, your coworkers, a friend, your kid, a grandkid, romantic partner, or a sports team, we all coach. Alas, too often we fail to help the other person as much as we'd like. We're going to talk about how to coach
on Work with Marty Nemco. Plus, you can call in for a 3-minute career makeover on Sunday at 11. That's Sundays from 11 to noon here on 91.7 KALW San Francisco.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. You can find more information about our show at yourcallradio.org. You can post a comment there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up. Tomorrow, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. We'll be joined by Paul Mason, BBC Newsnight economics editor, who's author of the new book, Why It's Kicking Off Everywhere, The New Global Revolutions. He writes about the new relationship created between the media and the millions of people around the world who are standing up for economic justice and freedom. That's tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback at yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about movies that have changed our view about how the world works, transported us to another place, taught us about another culture, maybe even inspired us to get involved, or maybe just introduced us to someone really interesting like Thelton Henderson. Soul of Justice, Thelton Henderson's American Journey is Abby Ginsberg's film. It's a profile of a judge who's responsible for placing medical care in the California prison system under federal receivership. Abby has been making documentaries for 25 years. We're also joined by Rachel Kaplan, founder and executive director of the San Francisco Green Film Fest, which kicks off on March 1st. And Hossein Keshavarz is an Iranian filmmaker. His recent film, Dog Sweat, is a film about young people fighting to be free in Iran. His film was shot underground in Tehran. They wanted to make an authentic film that really shows the energy of a rebellious generation. This film will be shown tonight at Camera Cinemas. That's 288 South 2nd Street in San Jose. At 7 o'clock, Hossein will be there. It's put on by the Iranian Studies Department at San Jose State. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. And let's go to our next caller. Let's hear from Aaron in Oakland. Hi, Aaron.
Good morning. Pardon my scratchy throat this morning, but I have become such a huge learner and fan through documentary films that I just had to call. And the one that I want to nominate for your list is called Sea Change, and the subtitle is Imagine a World Without Fish.
Oh, yes.
And it really opened my mind for the first time to the reality that climate change is really too small a phrase for the problem of carbon pollution, because there's a whole ocean dimension to it. And so the film is really about ocean acidification, because of carbon dioxide absorption into the ocean. And it traces that subject in a really gentle and even poignant way, and it managed to end with a very motivating, you know, solutions-oriented chapter, so to speak. But it's a great film.
Well, thank you. I would also add End of the Line. To that, they say that if we continue fishing at this rate, the fish will be gone by 2048, which is frightening to think about. And then on a positive note, there's a great, it was actually a Disney film, but I loved it. It was called Oceans.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And it's about underwater life, and it is just gorgeous. You feel like you're snorkeling for diving for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, but you have to see it on the big screen. I mean, it's still nice on a smaller screen, but it's just gorgeous. So thank you for that one. Rachel.
We have a film coming out Saturday, March 3rd, called Sushi, The Global Catch, which is looking, obviously, at one specific element of fishing and our enjoyment of fish, which is sushi. Again, a stunningly beautiful film. I can't wait to see it on the big screen. With bluefin tuna now selling for, I think one just sold for $750,000 for one fish. I mean, why are these fish so valuable? What is it about these fish?
It's because they're disappearing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is not sustainable. Right. I mean, I think I worked out that for that amount of money, I could eat a whole Dungeness crab every day of my life for the next 180 years. You know, I mean, so why is the fish so valuable to us? So we're screening this film. It's a celebration of the art of sushi, but also looks at these challenges and many different solutions. We've got a great panel discussion as well afterwards with some leading experts on the matters.
And when does that air?
That's showing Saturday, March 3rd.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. And thank you, Aaron. And I want to read a couple more emails. Melly writes in, the best movie I have seen in a decade was Allende by Patricio Guzman about the life, rise, and fall of Salvador Allende. I love this movie because it is a poetic exploration of the soul of a country and, in a way, of the human soul. This documents Chilean reactions to the prospect of a truly democratic, equitable society. Idealism, cynicism, hatred, fear, love, and passion. I also found this film compelling because of the implications for us today and our post 9/11 security apparatus. Maybe the Occupy movement and its children will show us our way. I hope so. Thanks for that, Melly. And Lynn writes in, nearly a decade after my one viewing of Rivers and Tides, a gorgeous documentary about the artist Andrew Goldsworthy, I still can't look at twigs, bark, and moss in the same way. And thank you for that. We also have a recommendation from Art in San Francisco. While my first film nomination did not change the way I understand the world, it did change the way I understand the power of film. The Boy in the Striped Pajamas is a very powerful piece of movie making that cannot help but force the audience to identify with the plight of the Jews in the Holocaust by focusing on two little boys who would not allow their friendship to be inhibited by a fence at the concentration camp. I found it very touching. My second nomination did change the way I see the world. Checkpoint is an Israeli documentary that shows how some soldiers, mostly very young men, treat Palestinians very badly at several checkpoints in Jenin, Nablus, Ramallah, and Gaza. I was shocked at the callousness displayed towards Palestinians by some of the soldiers in the film. As a son of Polish-Jewish Holocaust survivors, I believe that those who directly suffered at the hands of the Nazis or who live in a nation created as a refuge from that suffering would treat others with more respect and humanity, if not kindness, than what I witnessed in this film. Thank you for those nominations. And again, we will put all of these nominations on our website, yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Ellen in Albany. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I wanted to talk about a couple of movies, two documentaries that really influenced me this year. One called Buck, about the horse whisperer, who I think was the real horse whisperer that was involved with Robert Redford on the original film. And the humanity of the man depicted was so touching to me. I'm a preschool teacher, and it just made me want to go and be a better teacher because of his patience and compassion that he showed not only to horses but to the people that he encountered. And the other documentary I loved was Bill Cunningham's New York, because he was also a humane character that just was so colorful and warm and touching to me and made me feel good about the fact that I like to dress colorfully myself and not to feel embarrassed about that. And
well, good for you.
And the third movie, I think it is nominated, that I just saw that I thought was lovely, was A Separation, the Iranian movie, because it was just a beautifully nuanced depiction of an Iranian family. And also a more realistic picture of an Alzheimer's victim in the movie than, say, the dementia from the movie The Iron Lady was shown.
Mm. So. Well, thank you for that. Hossein, have you seen A Separation?
Yeah,
what'd you think of it?
It's fantastic. And it's a film that, you know, I feel that both Iranians and non-Iranians can connect with. I mean, I think non-Iranians, or anyone, can connect with the family drama, but also, this idea of, you know, everyone is trying to do the right thing in that film, but they're kind of forced into behavior that's immoral, and so it's almost I think it's a really strong critique about society right now, where, you know, everyone is trying to figure out what to do, and there's no really right way to live morally in this society.
I just want to weigh in on this. I saw A Separation last weekend, and one of my reactions to it was to actually, normally I'm extremely critical of the American legal system, but after seeing the portrayal of the Iranian legal system and how, you know, disputes get resolved in Iran, I was like quite happy that we have, you know, a slightly more independent judiciary than I saw there.
It's interesting, you know, one thing I liked about the story is also that she wants to leave Iran because she's fed up with all the stuff that's going on, but he feels an obligation because of his family and because of you know, he doesn't want to leave his home. And I feel like this kind of conflict is something that is happening for many Iranians and many people in other countries, where you're torn by the desire to make things better in your home country, but sometimes, you know, when you say you've had enough, you know, and I think that's something that has really kind of connected with a lot of people.
All right. Well, thank you for those recommendations. And today we are talking about films. We're talking about films that changed us, transported us, maybe changed our views, inspired us. And we'd love to get your nominations, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment at yourcallradio.org. We're joined by Abby Ginsberg. She's been making documentaries for 25 years. She's consulting producer on The Barber of Birmingham, which has been nominated for an Oscar. It's about Mr. James Armstrong, a foot soldier and a dreamer whose barbershop in Alabama has been a hub for haircuts and civil rights since 1955. Rachel Kaplan is founder and executive director of the San Francisco Green Film Fest, which kicks off on March 1st. And Hossein Keshavarz, his most recent film is Dog Sweat. It's a film about young people fighting to be free in Iran. It's filming or screening tonight at Camera Cinemas, 288 South 2nd Street in San Jose. It shows at 7, and Hossein will be there at the screening. And again, you can join us, 866-798-8255. And let's hear from Harry in San Francisco. Hi, Harry. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to recommend any documentaries by Frederick Wiseman, Nick Broomfield, but also especially the documentaries of Adam Curtis, who writes for the BBC, a blog now, which is kind of like a blog that incorporates elements of fact together with found footage from the BBC. And that's, you can find that easily through an internet search. He had a BBC series last year that I don't think is available yet, that's about the influence of computers and the power of nightmares and the trap, Pandora's box, and Century of the Self. And his It Felt Like a Kiss, which is kind of like a stylistic documentary, are all must viewings for anyone who wants to be an informed citizen.
All right. Thank you, Harry. The Power of Nightmares. We get calls about this one all the time, and I still have not seen it. Have any of you seen
it? Yes. I'm a huge Adam Curtis.
Yeah.
And I think this comes back to something Abby brought up earlier in the show about this role that many filmmakers are now playing. There's a very gray line between journalism, investigative journalism, and documentary filmmaking, and those areas are becoming, those boundaries are becoming less distinct. And there have been filmmakers that have got into some hot water with corporations in the last few years. Joe Berlinger with the film Crude. Got taken to court by Chevron. We had a film last year called Bananas by Fredrik Gerton, a Swedish filmmaker who got taken in and out of court by Dole. And in fact, he's now made a film called Big Boys Gone Bananas about the experience and all the fallout from the film. Dole sued him for fraud and defamation, and this film just premiered at Sundance, and we can't wait to work with Frederick to get it to San Francisco.
I'd love to do a show about that.
Yeah.
There were a lot of great docs that premiered at Sundance this year. There were one about military rape. I don't remember the name either. I'll find it. Speaking of documentaries, I also wanted to mention Semper Fi, Always Faithful. Really incredible documentary about water contamination at Camp Lejeune. And it's a Marine base in North Carolina. The government knew about this and did nothing. And a number of soldiers are now dealing with breast cancer. Men are dealing with this. And one man's daughter actually died from leukemia. He was this hardcore Marine for 25 years and became a hardcore activist. And it's such a great film. It didn't get distribution, unfortunately, but it is going to air on MSNBC Friday night at 7 o'clock. Highly recommend this. Friday night, 7 o'clock, Semper Fi. And I wanted to ask you, Abby, just quickly, what is the deal right now with distribution? There's so many great documentaries that just can't get shown in theaters.
Although I think things are actually getting better.
Oh,
I mean, for example, the short docs are all packaged together now the way you would package, you know, just a feature film. And it's called sort of the short docs, and they also have the live action and the animated films. So for the it's not the first time, but in the past couple of years, they realized there's a real audience to try to see these films. And so I don't even remember who the distributor is, but in many movie theaters around the country, they are packaging 4 out of 5 of the short docs that were nominated as, you know, an evening's entertainment. And although some of it's pretty bleak, they are fabulous this year. I mean, The Barber is in, you know, a wonderful category, and we have some other fabulous films that are, we're all up against. So I strongly recommend checking, you know, local listings to see whether or not there is some theater showing a package of the short docs near you. I think the bigger picture is that we have to kind of keep, I mean, people have to go out and see these films, you know, together with their other, you know, fellow Americans sitting in a dark theater rather than watching them at home, streaming them on their computer or, you know, downloading them to their iPhones. And I think for film lovers, it's important for us to tell others to keep alive, you know, the act of going to a theater and sitting there with other citizens, because something if something transformative is going to happen as a result of the film, you want to share that. You don't want to just be at home alone. And I think, you know, I think people will continue to go to the movies. They'll certainly continue to go to see the Hollywood movies. But what I think is happening is that there is now much more interest and sort of a demand for coming out, you know, trying to see these harder to see films. And I think we're going to begin to see a shift in the marketplace where actually they may be made more available. I'm optimistic.
I think that's where film festivals play a role as well. You know, here in the Bay Area, we have dozens of wonderful festivals, and we've got very cine literate audiences that will come out and support independent film. And I think, you know, people have this opportunity to see these films that otherwise don't find a home, that don't get theatrical distribution. They come, they meet the filmmakers, they have a good time. It's, you know, as you say, a wonderful atmosphere being there in a room with other people sharing this experience.
And I think even in the process of making the film, we see kind of this collaboration, because now there's sites like Kickstarter where you're kind of building an audience. You put your project online, and then people read about it, and then they'll give, you know, they'll donate money to help you make the film, and then you send updates. And I know a lot of great projects that built a huge audience doing that. And then also there's collaboration, there's ideas going back and forth. And I think something like that is going to be important going forward.
Actually, The Thick Dark Fog, a documentary about American Indian boarding schools, got a lot of attention from Kickstarter and raised more money than they wanted.
Yeah. And so for my next project, we're definitely going to do Kickstarter, because the DREAM Act is something that touches so many people. And I think that'd be such a great way to bring people's stories into the process of making the film.
Well, thank you for calling, Harry. And I just wanted to mention that the film about rape in the military that debuted at Sundance is called The Invisible War.
Right.
And when it comes to the Bay Area, we're definitely doing a show about it, because the trailer, just the 5 minutes, is so powerful. So I can't wait to see that film. And let's go to our next caller, Amy in Berkeley. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I also wanted to say hello to Rachel and Abby, who I've worked with over the years in my capacity at the Oakland Film Office.
Hi, Amy.
and to thank you so much for the work that you've both done. The film that I wanted to talk about is a film called Shadow Children, which was made about 20 years ago, that looked at the lives of the kids and teenagers who lived on Telegraph Avenue, and really got into looking at what circumstances led them to being there. And pretty much, I would say, almost 95% of the kids had chosen to live on the streets because they were abused at home, whether it was sexually, physically, emotionally, and were pretty much there as having their only form of escape of an abusive situation. And one of the things that made the biggest impression was when they talked about what was most important to them, and it was just for people to acknowledge them and not walk by them as if they were invisible.
Uh-huh.
And that made such a huge impression on me, as it did on many of the other audience members. And there was a long discussion afterwards about the just the suffering that happens, and I have seen this now, you know, in all forms of homeless people, what it feels like to be invisible.
Mm.
And so I thought that film was very powerful, and that others who saw it actually changed our behavior. And I think that that's one of the really strong things about a film, is to look at, does it actually change the behavior of the audience, or give us ideas for how to change our behavior.
And how did it change the way you interact with the kids that you now pass on the street?
And with kids as well as with people of all ages.
Yeah.
What I found is that looking somebody in the eye,
mm-hmm.
and having a conversation and just sort of asking them how they're doing, and doing it with a real sense of respect, knowing that, you know, we all go through circumstances that we don't know where we could end up. So it's made me much more open to talking to people and often lending a little bit of a helping hand. Sometimes 5 minutes extra, it may not be a lot of money, but I may end up buying somebody a meal.
Oh, that's incredible. That is going to be at the top of my list. Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Amy. You know, Hossein, that just makes me think about how films can give you such a different perspective based on what you've been fed for so many years. And with Iran, for example, right now, all we're getting is nuclear weapons. Is Israel going to bomb Iran? I mean, this is all we're getting in this country. This is all we ever get, really, about Iran. And it's amazing because so many great films have come out in the past 5 or so years.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about that? Just how showing something, your film, Dog Sweat, about the people of Iran, which don't have a voice in American media or Iranian media, but, you know, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most important things that you can show, which is kind of a very, very basic thing, is that, you know, people in other countries have the same aspirations that you would have here. They fall in love, they fall out of love, they go to work, they don't like their jobs. And so, you know, a film like Separation or a lot of these great Iranian films, they show the problems in Iranian society, but they also celebrate kind of, you know, human connections. And I think it's much harder to kind of propose to go to war with a country when you realize that that country is made up of people just like me and you.
And again, Dog Sweat will be shown tonight at Camera Cinemas, 288 South 2nd Street in San Jose. And I want to read a couple emails we've been receiving. Susie writes, my film is Bowling for Columbine. When that movie came out, my first daughter was very young, and Polly Kloss had recently been taken from her bedroom window and murdered in Petaluma. I was terribly afraid for my child, so I locked all my doors and windows all the time. Bowling for Columbine powerfully showed me that my fears were manufactured by the American media. The comparison between Americans and Canadians was most powerful. Most delightful was watching Michael Moore open the doors of strangers on a street in Canada and simply tell the people that he saw what he saw inside, just checking, meaning to see if their doors were locked. That movie made me realize that my fears were groundless, and I stopped locking my doors and windows because of it. Ever since, I've lived with a terrific sense of freedom from fear. What a gift. I just got the chills reading that.
Yeah.
That's really powerful.
You know, just one thing, just speaking about this, the threat of Iran, quote unquote,
right,
is how seamlessly it's gone from the threat of Iraq,
yeah,
and then this,
yeah,
and then now it's the threat of Iran. And growing up here, I remember, you know, growing up as an Iranian in the U.S., you would always, you know, when I was a young kid, it would be Iran, you know, hostage crisis, and, you know, Iran was a bad country, and then all of a sudden Iraq was a bad country, and then Iran was a bad country again, and then it almost reminds you of 1984, where I wonder if people realize that, you know, these are all different countries.
I was going to say, I'm not sure Americans do realize it. That was exactly my point. I'm like, you change one letter, you've got a completely different culture. And do Americans have any idea of what the differences are? I doubt it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely this idea of living in fear, right?
Right.
And then it's, you know, Hopefully most people don't, but there is also the media always kind of creating some type of danger. And you're, you know, right now is the safest time to be alive in human history. There's less wars, there's less violence, but so many people are living with apprehension.
Mm. I want to read a few more emails. Ali, our producer, wanted to nominate A Crime After Crime, a real eye-opening
documentary.
Oh, it was incredible. A documentary about domestic abuse and the rise of numbers of incarcerated women and the corruption in our criminal justice system. Very inspiring because of the incredible woman, Debbie Pegler, who is profiled in the film. We did a show about this. I think it was a couple years, maybe last year. Thank you for that. We have another email. Amira, the first film to change my world was Black Orpheus, which I saw in 1963 when I was 11 years old. The film played several times over the weekend on television. I watched every screening, at least five of them. The vibrancy of Carnival in Rio, the music, and the beautiful stars of the film opened me up to the world in a way no other film has. As a little black girl in the States, I was enthralled with Afro-Brazilian culture. Even though I hadn't been to Brazil, three of my four children have, and I still want to go to samba in the street at Carnival. That should be your next vacation. Thank you so much for calling in. And we're almost out of time. We've got about just 2 minutes left. Why don't you just give us your final thoughts? And again, thank you so much. There's been so many great recommendations here. Rachel.
Oh, I like the last call. I think that's an important point, too, is that we see a lot of doom and gloom scenarios, terrible things happening in the world, and it's important to acknowledge those and bring them to light. Yeah. But it's great as well just to see inspiring stories, things that uplift us and can just show us that there's hope and that you know, we, in terms of the Green Film Festival and the environment, we can work together and fix these challenges that we're facing.
And I think that the whole conversation has sort of led us back to sort of a shout out to documentaries in general as, you know, a form of, you know, providing truth, insight, the possibility for inspiration. And, you know, what I was going to say is, and it's a way of speaking truth to power. Mm. And so many of the films that people have nominated and talked about are films that have revealed cover-ups and lies and corruption, et cetera, in all kinds of different levels of, you know, American and international life. And I think the fact that the documentaries that we're talking about have a way of speaking truth to power is like an incredibly important takeaway.
Hussein?
Yeah, I agree with Abby. And I would say even art is a beautiful mode of inquiry into the world. And it can be very empowering way of looking at things and learning about things.
And just a couple other recommendations from listeners. 1948, All the King's Men, Do the Right Thing, for its clear eye scene of the theme violence versus nonviolence, and Jesus Camp. So, and we will make a list and put these on our website, yourcallradio.org. Abby Ginsberg has been making documentaries for 25 years. She's consulting producer on The Barber of Birmingham, which has been nominated for an Oscar in the short doc category. Rachel Kaplan is founder of the San Francisco Green Film Fest. It kicks off on March 1st. And Hossein Keshavarz is an Iranian filmmaker. His most recent film is Dog Sweat, which airs tonight at Camera Cinemas, 288 South 2nd Street in San Jose at 7 o'clock. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you so much for your great recommendations. I have a long list of films I need to see now. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call, and here's what's coming up tomorrow. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll be joined by Paul Mason, BBC Newsnight economics editor and author of the new book, Why It's Kicking Off Everywhere, The New Global Revolutions. From Tahrir Square to Zuccotti Park, advanced forms of communication have created a new relationship between the media and millions of people standing up for economic justice and freedom. What was your story of the week? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our daily podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Raz is on and Ali Budner produced the show. Matt Martin is executive producer. Pete Misick is our web editor and Becca Hoekstra is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer and David Latulipe is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and produced by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in San Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.
I'm Alan Farley, and on the next Open Air, I'll be talking with two artists making their debuts this week with the San Francisco Symphony. Conductor Rinaldo Alessandrini, who is leading a program of Haydn and Mozart, and pianist Olivier Cave, who's playing the Mozart Piano Concerto No. 25. That's pianist Olivier Cave and conductor Ronaldo Alessandrini on the next open air, only on KALW, Thursday at 1 p.m.
Join us for Open Air, heading your way in just 2 hours from now. Good morning, I'm David Latulippe. Coming up in this next hour, it's World Have Your Say from the BBC, along with some live headlines from London. And then at noon, stay with us for Bina from the JCCSF. Humor in Hitler's Germany is the topic. This is KLW, it's 11 o'clock.
Hello, this is World Have Your Say from the BBC. I'm Nuala McGovern, and you're asking questions to this man.
I met workers who were 14 years old, 13 years old, 12. Do you really think Apple doesn't know? In a company obsessed with the details.
Mike Daisy is a monologuist who went on a mission, which took him to China, to a factory that makes Apple products. Now, Mike didn't like what he found, and he turned the experience into a one-man play, the agony and the ecstasy of Steve Jobs. And when it featured on the US radio program This American Life, it gave new impetus to issues about ethical consumerism. In short, do you care about the people who make the stuff that you buy? Mike has agreed to take your